All right. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, we're in verse 1 through 4. Excuse me, we went 1 through 3 last week. We're going to be on the fourth verse this week. We are on children submitting. And you remember it was being filled by the Spirit in verse 18 of chapter 5. And one of the ways was to submit to one another in the fear of God. And so now it's on children's submission and what the children are to do. But it has an obvious admonition to you and I as parents or grandparents or family members that is really up to us to teach them to do what the scripture says. Amen? Do we realize that? Kids left on their own very seldom obey. In fact, there's a scripture that says, bring up a child the way that they would go, and they will not depart from it. And we always hang on to that with white knuckles, hoping that our kids will turn out. Well, there's two ways to look at that. Train up in a child in the way that they would go, and they will not depart from it. So the problem is if we don't teach our kids and discipline and admonish and love them, they will go out on their own, and they will end up in a mess. Do you hear me this morning? Okay. Now listen, I need a little more feedback here because we're a little low on number because of vacation. So, do you hear me this morning?
Amen.
Okay, all right, good. All right, so let's read. I'm going to read the yellow, excuse me, and you're going to read the white today. I thought, you know what, let's mix this up a little bit. And now I'm going to really confuse you, right?
Yeah.
Or would you rather start out? Okay. We're going to let you start out, okay? So you can keep reading yellow. All right, ready? Children. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Great, thanks, yeah. And we want to concentrate on that fourth verse this morning. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath or anger. The NIV says it this way, do not exasperate your children. And the word exasperate means to irritate someone, to make someone extremely frustrated, bitter, or angry. Man, I couldn't believe that God assigned that to fathers. And we laugh a little bit because we have a lot of people out there in the world that are pretty frustrated today, don't we? And they're filled with frustration and bitterness. And we certainly do not want our children to turn out that way. And yet, living in this life can do that to them. And it means that we have to pick up and pick up that baton and really work at our kids. So, fathers, I just want to say this morning, we're talking to everybody, but fathers particularly, we are talking to you this morning. And you fathers, it doesn't say and you parents. I assume that it would say parents, but it doesn't. It says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, and wrath meaning anger. Now, why fathers? Because so many times I hear moms mad, right? How many of you had moms that yelled at you? Okay, all five of you, huh? I think you're all liars. Yeah, okay, all right. And have you ever noticed that when children are upset with parents, ultimately it ends up on the father, right? Very few people I've met have mother issues. Why do we have the phrase father issues in our society? And over the years, I've contemplated why, and so I've come up with a couple assumptions, okay? I think they're scripturally based, but I want to give you these assumptions because the first one is because of respect. You remember our verse in Ephesians 5:33 when we were talking about marriage, and Paul said this, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself." And then this is the piece I want us to look at. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, obviously, respect is a big issue with men. And as I said a few weeks ago, in fact, it might even have been last week, that men will kill over being disrespected. we as men cannot seem to handle disrespect very well. And if we're not loved, that somehow doesn't compute very well. I've always found it interesting in counseling when a wife would say to me with the husband present, "Well, I don't really think I love him anymore." And I look at this confused face, and I can see that there's hope in their eyes because she didn't say respect. If she said, "Well, I don't respect him anymore," well, then we have a fight. But when it's love, it's like it doesn't quite connect because men are so plugged in to respect. And respect is violated over and over in our world. And the Bible does not say, respect your enemy, does it? It says, love your enemy, but it doesn't say, respect your enemy. And so my thought is that men react to disrespect differently than they would react to an unloving act. Because if it's a lack of love, you have to love your enemy, right? And so when there's an unloving act, immediately the scripture kicks in. We think, well, wait a minute, we got to love them and care for them. But if it's disrespect, the scripture seemingly does not address that subject. And so if your kids are like mine, they quickly learn how to push that disrespect button if they thought they could get away with it. Right, men? And to which mom might react, but a father certainly would. And when the kids say or do something disrespectful, dad gets angry. And if he's not careful, he will create an anger-based home. You following me so far? Logic? Okay. And the problem also becomes inconsistency in dealing with disrespect, because at times it provokes anger and punishment, and other times men seem to ignore it because they don't want to deal with it, or they may even laugh about it, to laugh it off. And that indecisiveness is taken by the children as disrespect, and rejection, causing exasperation in our children, especially as they get older. And dad doesn't know what to do. Now, you've heard people say, when my dad got home, we didn't know whether he would be angry or happy. Does that sound familiar to some of you? I was raised in that home. And I know there was a lot of fear and anxiety. When he would come up the steps to the house, all of us got scared, because we didn't know whether he was going to come in mad or whether he was going to come in happy. And most of the time, it wasn't happy. He had a printing job, and if you've ever been in the printing job, you have the right to be angry. I'm telling you, that is a bad job. And he would come home, and it created a certain sense of rejection in myself and my sisters, and we all had to deal with anger issues over the years because it created an angry home. And dad, the answer lies in consistent training and admonition, disciplining your children. That's the answer the Bible has, because that actually demonstrates love to your children. Now look at what God says about it towards us. This is in Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he disciplines, and scourges, he spanks every son whom he receives. And that really is every child. Okay? And so the Lord disciplines us when we get out of line. And a lot of times you can feel it. You can't put your finger on it, but somehow you know something's wrong, right? And I can remember on many occasions Debbie saying something to the kids, and ultimately it was blamed on me. She would tell them not to do something, and then pretty soon they come back and say, "But Dad, you said..." And I just smile and go about it because I think, no, wait a minute, your mom said that, not me. You know, but it's because dads, and hear me on this morning, Dad, grandfathers, dads, you count. And the reason I say that is because most dads that I've talked to feel like the fifth wheel in the family, like they don't really count. But dads, I want you to think about this. Think about your own dad. If he was in your life, some of you didn't have a dad in your life, but did he count? Sure he did. It didn't matter if he's passive or active or whatever the thing was. Somehow dad counted. And after all, isn't it really ultimately you rather than mom that provides the security, love, and respect that the child needs? You count. Now, here's the interesting thing with men, and I have to laugh even talking about this, but men really demonstrate their love through play, right? Don't we, men? Stop and think about it with your kids. And of course, mom's always protective when we play with the kids, right, moms? Okay? Because they believe that dads don't have a governor on their actions or reactions to their kids, and keeping the kids safe, and we may be a little too rough, okay? Think about it, fathers. How many times have you stuck out your foot and tripped your kids? Okay. Or you walked, or as they walked past, you playfully did something. Maybe you slapped them on the shoulder or twisted their arms or sprayed them with water or acted like you're going to drown them in the pool or rubbed your knuckles across their head or wrestled them until they had to say, uncle, or I give. Am I the only one? Okay, yeah, I torture my kids. Yeah, I'm proud of it. Huh? True story. Yeah, right. I did every one of those things. Yeah. So when we play with our kids, it's really a form of intimacy. It's showing them a good time, and even who's boss, who needs to be respected, even if they cry at times. But at the same time, giving them some undivided attention and loving them, even though it may end up in tears. Because here's the hard part. Even though mom doesn't like it, the kids always want more, don't they? Yeah. Even when they get done crying, they come back and go for more. Why? Because they want the intimacy too. They want that undivided attention. They want you, men. And if you didn't play with them, what form of contact would you really have with them? That's something to think about this morning. But playing is the easy thing to do. It's important to have intimacy with our children, but it can be misguided at times because we don't always get to the heart of them and listen to them. Fathers, it's our job to build that happy, even fun, healthy, stable home. It's our job. It's not our wife's job. And it happens not so much through play, but through good talks and teaching our children and yes, disciplining our children in an act of love. And when we get inconsistent or we leave it up to mom or we do it only when it's out of an act of disrespect, it provokes anger. It exasperates our children. Because then you and I cannot be trusted to be consistent. And I believe a happy and healthy home has three building blocks. And let me just give those to you. The first one, men, is a sincere or genuine walk with God. You can make a bad home good, a good home great, and a great home better if you have a sincere walk with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we can have a personal, meaningful relationship with God the moment we accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And we can build a personal relationship with Christ through reading, through meditating, and we went all through that on Filled with the Spirit from verse 18 of Chapter 5, what we are to do, and follow God and Christ in his example, and the kids see it in you. The second building block, I think, is a strong marriage. God intended for marriage to be an enjoyable, lifelong relationship between a man and a woman. And any marriage can be strong if the woman submits to the husband, like we framed it in the previous studies, and the man submits to her needs. And if both submit to Christ. Do you hear me this morning? You know, I remember my daughter down here, Jamie, she was about 12 years old, and I'd been on the road in southeastern part of the United States coming in and out. And so one day she's walking past me, and I said, "Jamie, I love you." And she goes, "Yeah, I know." You know how kids are. And I said, "Okay, how do you know?" She said, "Because you love Mom." And I, man, that hit me right between the eyes. She knew she was loved because I loved Mom. Kids thrive on the consistency of a good marriage. And how many kids have you overheard saying, "My parents really love each other, and that makes me mad"? I've never heard it. Have you? No. Number three building block is a solid parent-child relationship. Last week, we looked at Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, and noticed the responsibility of the children in regard to the home. They are to honor us as their parents. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother," excuse me, "which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Isn't that a great promise for your kids? Now, I'm sure you heard the story about the preacher who preached a sermon entitled 10 Rules for Raising Children. A few years later, he and his wife had a couple kids, and while the kids were in their lower elementary school, he changed the title of his sermon to 10 Principles for Raising Kids. A few years after that, when his kids were in preteen years, he changed the title of his sermon to 10 Suggestions for Raising Kids. And then when his kids became teenagers, he quit preaching the sermon altogether. Why? Because it's tough, isn't it? Honor or respect your father and mother is what the scripture says. And I want to share just a few quick principles gleaned from this verse to help you as parents to raise your kids without losing their respect. These are some common ways fathers or parents exasperate their kids. One, being negative. If you desire to frustrate and bitter and anger your child, then I want you to use these ideas, okay? Constantly criticize them, point out their faults, and seldom to never offer praise. It works. They'll get embittered. And the problem is, it seems like it comes natural to us, doesn't it? I have heard over and over different times, and I watch this, and it just kills me inside. Like maybe a little girl says to her dad, I want to be a doctor when I grow up. And the dad replies, "Well, I don't think you're that smart." I've heard many a parent say something similar to that. You know, listen to this. Encourage your children's dreams, especially if they're worthwhile dreams. I guarantee you they're going to change, right? We who've raised our kids and have them out the door, they've wanted to be everything from a fireman to, I don't know what, a preacher maybe. And reality will work itself out, so you can encourage them in school and that kind of thing and help them dream. But let them discover that maybe the dream they have isn't good and they need to switch or whatever. Second one is negligence. Our society has a lot of negligent parents, and we call them absentee parents. Some parents tell their kids through their actions, "Stay out of my way and I'll stay out of yours," or they treat their kids like they're a nuisance and in the way, or simply they aren't around, they're absent. How can a child honor that? Third thing is non-affectionate. Do you know what the three most important words you could say to your child is? "Here's your allowance." "No, I'm..." "I love you." So many times, I don't know why it's so hard for men a lot of times, especially if they come from a bad background, but to be able to say, I love you to your child. It's always like, well, your mom and I love you, or yeah, we do when somebody mentions it, but never say the words, I love you. I didn't hear that from my dad till I was an adult. He would say, well, yeah, your mom and I love you. Well, what kind of love is that? And yet I knew he loved us. But him not saying it was hard, and through the years I was able to tell him I love him, and he was able to tell me he loved me. And what a great time that was. What a great feeling that was for us to be able to say that. So here's the conclusion today. Fathers, teach. Teach your kids. When they get too old, then you wait for them to ask you, and then you teach your kids. When they want advice, teach or train. Are you doing that, fathers? Are you doing it consistently? Are you pulling their kids over and teaching them so they understand why they need to do what they're going to do? And then the second one is, are you admonishing or disciplining your kids? Don't leave that up to mom. Mom can do that during the day or whatever, wherever the time is, but when you're there, the Bible's telling you to admonish. It's telling you to discipline your children. Are you doing that, fathers? If you're doing those two things, you have a good family. If you aren't doing those things, will you think about doing them?